So the city council will convene at 7:11 PM. Clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Here.
Mr. DeLuise?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Kirby?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. Muto? Mr. Napa?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Eight present.
If Councilman Ricks will please lead us in the salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the
general communications, do we have any announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events? Now I have one. Congratulations to our very own John Howell, who was recently inducted to the Rhode Island Heritage Hall of Fame. Does anyone else have anything for congratulations, condolences, or community events? Councilman DeLuise?
Yes, I'd like to request a moment of silence for one of our great employees of the city, Joanne Canoia's aunt, who was a lived in my ward for a while, and her name is Gail Tapper.
We'll have a moment of silence. Does anyone else have anything for congratulations, condolences, or community events? Councilman Foley.
First, congratulations. My son, Michael, is a Providence firefighter. He was promoted last August, and finally, the city of Providence held a ceremony, a formal swearing in this past Saturday. So congratulations to my son, who is a captain on the Providence Fire Department, following the footsteps of his grandfather, my father, who was. The other thing is, if I could ask the city council, if we could invite for one of our June meetings, a young lady named Kaylee Foley, who is my granddaughter. Oh, thank you. Thank you. She recently got called on at the spur of the moment to sing the national anthem at a road race this weekend in Warwick. She is a Warwick resident, and I would like to have the council invite her to sing the national anthem for us live here in chamber, if my colleagues would be so willing.
So congratulations to her regarding her recent achievement, and then as far as any invitation, we can't deal with that during general communications, but that definitely sounds like something we should do. Does anyone else have anything for congratulations, condolences, or community events? Councilman Gephardt?
I don't think we've done this yet here, but just a moment of silence for Senate President Dominic Ruggiero.
We did last time, but there's no reason not to do it again. We have a quick moment of silence for Senate President Ruggiero. And then Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. And just an announcement that was brought to my attention over the weekend. The Boots to Briefcase folks are having a ping pong tournament on May 17th at Bishop Hendricken. I understand that at least one of our colleagues will be participating in that event. It's a great event, obviously, and it's a really good cause. So I was just asked to make that announcement. So May 17th, it's a ping pong tournament. You can have teams from the council with three, I think it's three-person team. And that's it. Thank you.
Anything else for congratulations, condolences, or community events? Seeing none, unless there's any objection, we can go back to committees.
Point of order.
Fire away.
I know we do still have some folks here who intended to comment on the resolution in intergovernmental 52 PCR 5225. There are a few folks who hung out. So I just make the recommendation that rather than going to ordinance next, that we go to intergovernmental so we can let these folks get on with their evening.
There's a lot to unpack there. So first, as was stated prior, our normal procedure, if something is held, is for that no testimony to be received on it. That being said, there is currently no recommendation to hold. So if a motion to hold does occur and it is rejected, then those individuals are more than welcome to testify. However, if the motion is approved, then allowing them to testify is somewhat of a slap in the face to all the other people that were here and were notified of this procedure and left accordingly.
Yeah, with all due respect, it is speculative to imagine that that motion to hold would carry.
Absolutely.
We've not held such motion, so.
You are absolutely correct, and that's why it was phrased the way it was when it was brought up and notified to everyone. But if there's no objection, we can go to intergovernmental first. Is there any objection?
Mr. Chairman, it's not that I have an objection to go to intergovernmental first. I would have an objection to anything different than what was already discussed. This chamber was filled with people who wanted to speak both for and against, and I had made that request, and it was procedurally denied.
Already?
To do anything different now, I would strongly oppose.
Right, and so just bear in mind, it's partially my fault for letting Councilman Kiphart state his full piece. We shouldn't be having this discussion now. That being said, what you're saying does not fall on deaf ears. So is there any objection again to go into intergovernmental? All right, so seeing none, intergovernmental, have at it, please. With no violence.
I need to get aggressive. You don't need to get aggressive, so I'm throwing it around.
No, I think I'm okay. It was red earlier, but it looks to be okay now.
Okay, thank you all for your patience, and thank you for letting us move this up. Intergovernmental comes to order at 7:20.
Sure.
Yep. Okay.
Let's see. All right. Councilman?
That's correct.
If you're able and willing, yes, please.
Okay, here we go. All
All right, right off the top, acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on April 21st.
Motion to move favorable action.
Motion second. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, two clerical matters, if I may make suggestions.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Regarding the proposed appointments or reappointments of the four individuals here, the agenda does not have adequate description of the committees that they are going to be reappointed to. So it would be in order that I would recommend that the committee hold these until the June 2nd meeting.
Okay. Any objection to holding these until we can have them properly noticed on the agenda? I will note that all these are reappointments. So is anyone who's being appointed this evening in?
Mark Brown.
Okay. Mr. Brown is here, but unfortunately, Mr. Brown, there was a clerical error on the agenda for this committee. So if there's no objection among the committee members, we'll move to hold to the May 22nd meeting.
June.
Oh, that's budget. 6-2. June 2nd meeting. That's correct. Mr. Brown, you are not required to appear for that meeting, given that you're already a member of the Cemetery Commission. Okay. Thank you for coming out. Motion to hold to June 2nd.
Motion to hold appointments to June 2nd.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Those three.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The other clerical item is to amend the agenda to correct a reversal of two numbers on it. So on PCR 5225, the reference to the House bill in the title is listed as 5346. It is actually 5436. So if you would amend the agenda, this has no impact on the item itself. This is just correcting our records, but it would be appropriate for the committee to entertain a motion to correct that House resolution's reference number to be 5436.
Understood. Do we have a motion to make the amendment the solicitor just referenced?
Motion to make an amendment to reflect House Bill 5436 rather than 5346.
Thank you, Councilman. We have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Now, as I stated before we came up here, we still have some folks looking to comment on 5225. Is there any objection amongst the committee to just sequencing that to be first on our agenda prior to PCR 4525?
No objection.
Hearing none, we will proceed with PCR 5225. Resolution requesting the General Assembly to support constitutional rights to bear arms and oppose the Rhode Island Assault Weapons Ban Act of 2025, H5436 and S359, co-sponsored by Councilman Lattiser, Council President Sinapi, Councilman Napa, Councilman Foley, Councilman Muto, Councilman Kirby, and Councilman DeLuise.
I'd like to make a motion to hold that PCR to our meeting on 6-2, as discussed prior by Council President Sinapi.
We've got a motion on the table, and it has been seconded for discussion. We do have members who stayed the course here and are still in the room. My preference would be to move this along and do it what business we can. Councilman, you mentioned that you had an amendment you'd like to get in here. And there may be, amendment to this one.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Point of order.
That's what I said.
This?
We'll get to you momentarily.
Miscommunication between you and I.
What's that?
So your amendment is on PCR 4525.
That's why I suggested to move that to the
Understood.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
You're not recognized yet, Councilman.
Well, tell me what you said.
I had suggested an amendment to the first item.
which would have taken some time. So I had asked the chair to move our resolution to be addressed first to allow the folks that stayed to leave and not be burdened by listening to us haggle over a tax bill.
So you're looking to make an amendment to 5225?
No.
Okay.
It was a miscommunication between the council, the chair and I.
Sorry. Thank you for acknowledging me.
Okay. Now that we have that before us, we have a motion to hold. We have a second. Any discussion amongst the members of the committee? Members of the council? Members of the public? On the motion to hold PCR 5225.
So as a rule, this doesn't go to the, as let me rephrase, our normal processes and whatnot. This doesn't go to the public. This just is a motion to hold by the committee.
Any members of the public? Seeing none? Oh, here we go.
So again, this is against our processes. If a member of the committee wishes to appeal the rule of the chair, I would suggest they do that.
Make a motion to appeal the rule of the chair.
Gonna need a second on that.
So.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
We've got a new motion.
I strongly object to this. You had people in this chamber waiting for an hour or more, and this was held. And they were told it was being held. They were also told that, you know, there's no games being played here.
Councilman,
so
with all due respect,
I'm going to say what I have to say. You're trying to pull a fast one here, and I object to it. There is no comment from the people that waited here for over an hour. The room was filled with people pro and against, and they didn't have an opportunity. Now you want to try and change the rules. I object.
Councilman, with all due respect, the item's not held until the council votes on it to be held. So we have a motion to hold, which is now tabled. We've got a motion to overrule the decision of the chair, which has been moved and seconded.
I request the decision from the city councilor.
There was a motion to second the hold. I think it was the verbiage issue. The motion itself is not tabled at the moment. Right now, there's an appeal of the decision of the chair to allow the public to speak on the motion to hold. That appeal was moved and seconded. So now it's up for the committee to vote on said appeal. And I would overturn the rule, the decision of the chair, which would thus disallow the public from speaking on the motion to hold per our standard rules and procedures.
Question? Is that a point of order, Councilman?
Just on procedure, I have a question.
Sure.
The comments from the public are only about holding the time. Am I correct in that, Solicitor? Because the motion that is in front of us now, that he's asking for public comment. The motion
that's in front of us right now that he's asked for public comment on is a motion to hold.
Can someone appeal the second?
Yes.
We're out of print. So there was a second to the motion on the determination of the chair to allow comment. We will proceed to have a vote on that motion.
So we're on discussion now.
The question is if you would like to proceed with comment as the chair has indicated his interest.
So we're on discussion of the override.
Only motion. Amongst the committee members.
Correct. So committee members, any conversation on the motion that has been seconded to override the decision of the chair?
Yes. So we had made a collective decision, and council president had spoken on two occasions prior to this committee convening, telling the full chamber, both sides, for and against, who both deserve to be recognized on this item, that we were going to hold out of respect for their time and for coming out and to give them notice to come again when this matter was amended at the House as requested by the House. I think we need to respect both the House's recommendation, the Council President for displaying the intent of the City Council to the public and allowing the people that were here to speak both for and against to come back out and speak, to allow one or two members that may have stuck around while we appreciate your time, to allow them to speak without anyone else here is absolutely absurd.
Heard.
Question to my colleague, Councilman Napa. So you're agreeing with the president that there should be no discussion on the resolution tonight?
Correct. There should be no discussion. It was put forth by the Council President to everyone that was in chambers that we were going to hold. And in light of representations made by this honorable board, by our Council President specifically, pretty much everyone had vacated. It's in a matter of fairness to the public to be able to be heard. To usurp their right is absolutely inexcusable.
I'll thank you. Are your comments finished on that? I'll just give my 2 cents. My 2 cents would be that a motion's not held. There was no discussion with me about holding. I in no way was briefed on that, and we're in a public meeting. We should be making decisions publicly. That's the point of the committee. Second, we have been excoriated many times before your time on the council when we have members here who want to say their piece, and then we decide at the last minute to hold an item and then don't give them the opportunity to say their piece, which just discourages public participation and quite frankly is embarrassing. So I agree. I wish everyone was still here and we could continue as planned. However, I will, I'll vote with you on the motion to overrule. I just think it's an important discussion to have. It's a bad precedent to get people all whipped up to come down here to participate in a public process and then get cold feet at the last minute and pull the thing.
So as a point of information, I'm going to interject to make sure to clarify a few things that were just stated by the various individuals. As Councilman Gebhardt said previously, there was no concrete hold previously. What was stated was that we have been requested to hold, and per our standard procedures, if said hold occurs, we will not be taking testimony on this item. This is something we have done time and time again over the years in this exact way. So none of this is new to anyone. That being said, I don't want to, but I need to make another clarification. Chairman Gebhardt, you were in fact notified of this request to hold prior by me individually informing you in a conversation on the stairwell. This normally does never need to be brought up, but I am somewhat baffled why of anything else was said. And per the Open Meetings Act, I am permitted to have that discussion with you. So I'm very unclear where we're going right now. It sounds like we were getting back on track, but I can't allow misstatements. I'm not going to assume it was said with any intent. So it was an innocent mistake, but I hope we can proceed accordingly now.
Are there any other comments on the motion on the table?
Oh, I didn't know you recognized
it. Yes.
I just want to clarify. I thought, Councilman Napa, you made a motion to appeal the president.
My decision,
your decision
to allow Mr. Zarin to testify.
I misunderstood.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So that is the motion on the table. We can proceed with a vote.
Yes, I call the question.
All in favor?
Sure. Aye.
And
wait, just clarify what people are voting on.
Go ahead.
A vote on yes confirms Councilman Gephardt's position. A no vote would be a vote to end discussion and proceed to the hold motion. Oh, did you withdraw the?
I said I'll vote with you whatever way, but so it was important.
So a yes vote would proceed towards opening up commentary. A no vote would move us to the motion to hold.
Thank you for clarifying. No.
Nope.
No.
No.
Okay.
So the motion to hold to June 6th was moved and seconded, and you could proceed at that time.
Okay. Motion to hold to June 6th is in order. All in favor?
Aye.
Is there public comment on the motion?
No, no. No, the item has been held to June 2nd.
Okay. Are we done there? All right, moving to our next item, PCR 4525. A resolution requesting the General Assembly to amend RIGL 44567.2 regarding property tax classification for the City of Warwick to better stabilize property tax payments. This is Council President on behalf of the administration. Council President?
So I'll leave this to Neil Dupuy, although I should mention that my understanding is that maybe there may be an amendment forthcoming. But that being said, I yield to the administration.
Good evening. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. We had come before this body approximately 2 years ago to amend this same statute at the state level because we needed a little bit more leeway between the residential class and the commercial class. At that point, we had hoped that there would be enough within that adjustment that was made back then to carry us through a few different years. But as it worked out, that adjustment only worked in that first year. So now that we're performing another revaluation, it's bringing up the same issue. So the language that you see before you, the intent was to solve it not only for this pending revaluation, but so that we don't keep having to go back in front of the General Assembly every time we do a revaluation. But I want to go back and stress that nothing that we're proposing here tonight is trying to increase the taxes on any commercial property owner, but rather to maintain the amount of revenue that was coming from the commercial class versus what was coming from the residential class. An unintended consequence of the revaluations is that typically it shifts some of the burden to the residential property owner, just simply because the market is more slow and steady on the commercial side. And in this market, the residential market has grown much faster. So again, most large commercial taxpayers would see a decrease that they're not asking for. And as a former business owner myself, one of the main things from a commercial standpoint is we like to see slow and steady, predictable changes to our expenses rather than large swings one way or the other. So with that, I'll answer any questions that you might have.
So Director, the Class 1 property tax rate shall be not less than 57% of the Class 2 property tax rates. So shall be not less. So this is basically a minimum or a maximum threshold?
Yeah, so that was existing language that has been in the statute for decades. Initially, before we amended it in 2022, it was 67%. Most of these statutes and other municipalities will restrict it to say no more than 1.5 times the residential rate on the commercial side, but ours goes the opposite way. So we're saying that the residential rate can't be less than 57% of the commercial rate, which is the equivalent of 1.75 times the residential rate on the commercial.
And so in this update, you would benchmark the prior year ratio and use that? Is that what you're...
What the goal was to set, right now, our commercial tax base, if we look at last year, fiscal year 25, 32% of the net tax levy came from the commercial tax base. So we'd like to maintain that revenue. We've got growth within the commercial tax base at that taxation level. So it's certainly not onerous on the commercial property owners. But if we weren't to make these adjustments, again, a lot of the larger commercial property owners would see a reduction that they're not asking for.
Okay, thank you. Well, do you want to comment on the amendment that you had in mind? Okay, all right, so Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Director, and thank you for taking the time earlier to discuss this with me.
Certainly.
So just so the council can be clear as to our discussions, the intent here is to give the city flexibility both in setting the tax rate and also adjusting the ratio if necessary, to reflect current market standards, growth in the city, growth of commercial properties, vacancies, so on and so forth. Is that the understanding of the?
Yeah. So for instance, if we saw that the tax policy we're going to hopefully put in place was having an adverse impact on the commercial market, there's tools within this legislation that would allow the council to adjust that base percentage and incentivize more development. So that was the idea.
And so my concern with, and I think the language you've suggested does accomplish those goals. However, my concern is the more we pack into legislation like this, more but for language or but if language, and to try to foresee every possible carve out, I think the more we pack in, the more the muddy the water that gets. I think a simple strikeout, and our council solicitor did confirm that if we just simply strike out on line 12, anything after the semicolon. So further that the rate of taxation is uniform within each class, there's a semicolon, and then and provided further, and that's where it gets into the percentages. If we strike out anything after uniform within these in each class, change that semicolon to a period and strike out everything else, I believe that that accomplishes the goal of giving the city the ability to both adjust the tax rate and the ratio to an appropriate level given current market conditions year over year. And it still provides that it has to be approved in the same manager that in the same way that a budget would be approved through the city council. So it doesn't remove any sort of constraints or approval processes that this body has over the process, but it does, I think, give the city flexibility. And I think skeletal nature of this type of resolution or this type of legislature, if it does pass, is sort of paramount to give the city the ability to move. And I think there is, the director had shared with me that this is facing some challenge as proposed, and it would likely face challenges as amended if the amendment is acceptable to this body. But there is precedent for the amendment that I'm suggesting. North Providence in the current legislature, 44-5-58, Cranston in 44-5-20.4, and also I found East Providence 44-5-20.27 has almost identical language as to what I would propose. And the director had enlightened me that they go a step further and they kind of codify within their local ordinance their desire for ratios and such. I feel that it's probably appropriate to simplify the legislature so we can sort of move away from asking the state for approval to change things and keep things in-house, simplify the legislation, address it at the ordinance level within the cities that we can maintain control and streamline the process here instead of volleying it back and forth to the legislature every several years.
Okay. Do you all have a preference as to whether we have him make the motion now for discussion?
I think it's easier to take the amendments in the full council.
Okay.
But it's welcome to discuss and put it on record the intent. Ultimately, it'd be duplicative if we, on the amendment.
Can you say it one more time, yep, just cohesively, so that everyone has clear in their mind?
So, if we're looking at the existing legislation, the assessor of the city of Warwick on or before June 15th of each year shall make a full and fair cash valuation of all estate, real and personal, including motor vehicles and trailers, subject to taxation to determine the assessed valuation of each property class. The assessor has the authority to apply different rates of taxation to each class and determine the tax due and payable on the property, semicolon, provided that the rates are pursuant to an annual tax resolution approved in the same manner as provided for budget approval in the city charter. Another semicolon, provided further that the rate of taxation is uniform within each class. And I suggest that we just end it there.
Period.
So we're protecting the classes in general. We're protecting the rights of this body to approve any changes in the budget rates, I mean the tax rates, and giving the city the flexibility it needs.
Understood. Okay, thank you. Very helpful. Do any members of the committee have any questions on the language change on the amendment as proposed? No? Members of the council? Councilman Lattiser?
Thank you, Chairman. So my understanding from what I've heard is what you're looking to do is simply provide the city with flexibility so that you don't have to, or the city doesn't have to keep going back to the General Assembly. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, we'd like to see a tax policy that's specific to Warwick rather than letting the state mandate a one-size-fits-all for what Warwick needs are.
And I know that you and I have had some discussion on this issue along with the chief, and I want to thank you for including the language that I had proposed about advice and consent of the city council on those changes. That's appreciated. Councilman Napper, I must commend you on your research. Excellent job on pulling out that research and giving us comparatives to what other communities are doing as well. I appreciate that. But I just want to be sure I understand that on in that same 45-5-67.2, line 10 through 12, do I understand correctly that are you looking to change that language, or are you looking to change the language in line 13 where it says property taxes shall not be less than 57% of class 2? Could you just...
What I was proposing was to simply strike out and provide it further for each year, class 1 property tax shall be not less than 57% of class 2 property tax rates. So simply just strike out everything else. That leaves in place the necessity for approval by the city council for any rate changes. So any mill rate changes, we would have to approve it. And it removes this complicated formula that's worded rather poorly and gives the city some flexibility.
And then, sorry, just to clarify, and then it picks back up at line 23, starting with section 2, right?
Yes. Yeah, so strike out just that. Strike out the suggested blue line changes we have, and it would, the section 2, this actual take effect upon passage, that would all remain in place.
And as an additional point, let me just... back up. It'll be a question to the solicitor, but I'll go to the director first. Class 1, residential. Class 2, commercial. Class 3, tangible, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, that was one of the questions that you had answered for me as well, because I wasn't in tune to what those different classes were. And
sure,
if I didn't have a recall on it, I'm sure the average citizen wouldn't. Through the chair to the solicitor. The proposed amendment from Councilman Napper is, it's essentially the same things that I had talked with you about earlier?
Yes. The amendment that the Councilman Napper is looking at would, I think the best way to describe it is begin with getting rid of the blue line language that is proposed. So that new language that was attempted to be inserted into the state general law, we would not do that. It would continue the deletion to make that full clause on lines 12 and 14, 12 through 14, remove that. And then we would insert an and at the end of, after the semicolon on 11, just for, to make it read proper. But effectively, the point would be not to do the new blue language that was being asked, and also to strike from the existing law the language pertaining to the 57%. The city council would still adopt that ratio through the budget resolution that we do every year. So we would still have to vote on what the balance of the amongst the classes are. And this can also be supplemented with an ordinance that sets other parameters, such as whether it's the 57% or anything else. The complicated nature that I think the director has identified is that a few years ago we asked to change this based on differences of needs, and unfortunately we've seen additional changes to what's going on in Warwick. So for us to keep asking the General Assembly to change this doesn't necessarily always make the best sense. The council could establish guardrails through an ordinance to you know, put any guardrails on that they would like to see fit differently than always asking the assembly. But at the same time, the council would still be subject to setting that balance within the tax rates.
Okay. I'm comfortable at this point with that, particularly where, you know, the city council, it's not, this isn't directed towards the current administration of the current city council. People have heard me saying this for years. This is also a concern about future administrations and future councils. And I think with this amendment that you've made, Councilman Napper, along with your suggestions, Director, that it does give flexibility, but it also keeps the final say here with the city council, regardless of who's sitting in this in these chairs. Thank you.
Well.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council have any anything to add? Any members of the public? Absolutely.
Absolutely, right? Okay, Ann Sheridan. First off, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ann.
As you all know, I think highly of him. But class one and class two, is that state class or is that city classification?
No, we have legislation at the state level. So section 67.1 defines the classes. It's in state law.
It's and does that include residential condominiums?
It does. Class one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm good on that one. I am happy about this scheme, but it needs to be limited to valuation updates, to either the revaluation or statistical updates, to be fair to residential properties, because I see a huge red flag in here when you're talking about vacancies in commercial property, which alludes me to the fact that between revaluations, there's an opportunity for commercial to come in and have their assessment changed when the residential property is going to be fixed at the 3 years. So if residential is going to be fixed at the 3 years, commercial should be fixed for 3 years.
Can I ask you a follow-up question, Ms. Sheridan?
Yes.
Does the proposed amendment that Councilman Napa suggested of essentially removing all the parts following that are more prescriptive and start to talk about new buildings, building additions, vacancy, et cetera, is excluding that? Does that help with your concern?
Well, I didn't think when you just said 12 to 14 was going to be eliminated, it alluded to the rest of it was going to stay. In any event, I think there needs to be a clear determination that this change is made once. At any time we do a general assessment change, because I don't think there should be any fluctuation between that. There was one more thing, and I just went completely blank on it.
While you're thinking, Ms. Sheridan, Director.
Sorry.
Does that make sense, Ms. Sheridan's point about?
To some extent, the reason why it was added in there in the first place is we know there's going to be opposition at the state level when we testify at the General Assembly. So we wanted to show the guardrails that we were trying to put in place to make sure that we had mechanisms within the statute at that point. Now it would be within the local ordinance or happen as a result of the budget hearings. But we wanted to make sure that if the tax policy that we put in place was hurting the commercial segment, that there was a process in place to correct that pain that comes. Tax policy drives our growth. And so, but now at this point with the amendment that's been made, if that goes forward, it strikes all that, it goes away.
I still want to see something definitive. And the other comment was talking about tax incentives. Tax incentives should be the only jurisdiction of the council. If anybody's granting any commercial tax abatement, incentive, deal, whatever you want to call it, it should be only the council, which you represent the entire city. We don't want to leave it open, so any administration can decide they're going to give any kind of exemption to I don't think there's any place in Rhode Island general laws that gives any city or town that flexibility. I mean, everybody's got tax stabilization rules and kind of, and I think we need more guideposts along the way that the city council in total should be responsible. You're responsible for the taxes and the budget. So any giveaways should be strictly in your hands. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sharda. Just state your name for the record, please, Ms. Comar.
Michelle Comar. Good evening, Council.
Good evening.
I agree with the previous speaker. Well thought comments. And Director, thank you for a little history in the background. I do remember when Council President McAllister had an amendment to this that shifted tax burden more towards commercial, which you mentioned. To put it in our toolbox, it was phrased. I don't know if it was ever used. Because it was advertised with notifying commercial business owners about this potential shift, burden on more on them and away from residential, people came out. Business owners came out and spoke against it. The Central Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce came out and spoke against it because it was noticed properly that people understood it was a shift in tax burden from residential more so on commercial. This doesn't happen here this time. I think we're going to be the only two speakers on this, taxpayers, tonight. And the agenda that was posted has the purpose of these changes to state law to better stabilize property tax payments. Payments are up to the person. Can they afford it? Are they going to be in tax lien or whatever? I think this has to deal with tax rates, not payments. And the director explained the purpose of this was to shift the burden to residential taxpayers. If you had put this in the agenda that was posted, you'd probably get more residential taxpayers here tonight. I'm going to, and I see the mic, he's posed for the mic, solicitor, because my question would be, is this clearly in respect of the Open Meetings Act? Because I don't see how the public knows that there's a shift proposed from the tax burden from commercial more in the direction of residential, and that residential taxpayers may be pouring.
Do you mind if I pause you there for one
second?
Sure,
go ahead.
Because I think your statements are backwards, and I just don't want to mislead anyone who's listening at home. So, Ms. Director Dupuy,
just as point of clarification. So the revaluation itself has an unintended consequence of shifting the burden. If we do nothing, leave the classification system that we had in place and go forward, the residential taxpayers would have to pay more. The commercial taxpayers would see a decrease in what they pay. So it's just the opposite. And it wasn't about increasing the taxes, even back in 2022. You mentioned an amendment that increased the taxes. That wasn't true at that point either. We just wanted to stabilize and not have to lower the taxes on the large commercial property owners just as a function of the market changing. These people weren't asking for reductions, and they're not asking for them now. But I'd like to say the historic two-year period that we've now had a benefit from probably is the reason why there's nobody here tonight. Not the lack of notification, not the way the notice was worded, but they now trust what we said 2 years ago, that they weren't going to get an increase, and that's the same impact that it will have now.
Well, I didn't think the legislation was very clear as a layperson, and I would expect the description here to be clear so people can decide if they're going to attend this council meeting and hear the vote. And I don't believe it's in the best light of the Open Meetings Act, and to better stabilize property tax payments, its tax rates. And stabilize to me, general definition is to make or become unlikely to change, fail, or decline. That's stabilize, no change. I don't think that's what we meant here.
Ms. Comer, can I have, I think the director's itching to, jump on that
I'm not seeing him out of the corner of my
that's
eye.
That's okay, I can see
Yeah, just to clarify, the intent is to stabilize the revenue coming in from each class of property. So prior to this current reevaluation, 32% of the tax levy, the net tax levy, came from the commercial class. What we're proposing is to keep that the same, although there's been an amendment on the floor that would let the council weigh in on that at another point in time and give the public an opportunity to weigh in during the budget process to that same percentage that they would be applying at that time.
All right, so I was going to ask for an example. My comment still holds that I believe this is not in the best light of the Open Meetings Act for the reasons of stabilize means unlikely to change or keep the same, and property tax payments. People choose when they want to make their payments. I think if we said to shift the burden, as the director said in the beginning, to residential taxpayers, we would have got a fair showing tonight. If you were to have, during your budget hearings, we're shifting tax burden to residents.
To the chair, please.
Director.
You've mentioned that a couple of times. That was never said. We are not shifting any burden to the residential taxpayer. The reevaluation, the result of the market would do that. The city is not asking. I am not asking to shift any burden. Please don't say that again.
Thank you. I thought I heard that from you because I wrote the note down.
Ms. Comer.
Yes. Project.
So if we do nothing, the burden would then shift. So by coming forth to try to do something, this city and the administration has, they're taking affirmative steps to try to protect the residents to keep your net proportion of taxes the same. So I think there's a lot packed in here, and I understand the confusion, but it's the intent of the administration to keep the tax burden as is for the taxpayer relative to how much proportion of tax are paying.
Mr. Chairman?
If they do nothing, then you're going to have a burden.
Ms. Comer, do you have anything
else?
I can be interrupted again.
Councilman?
So through the chair to the council solicitor, Ms. Comer asked the question of whether or not this could be an open meetings violation. So I think to clear that up, we should hear from the council solicitor. That's my request.
I'm open to hearing from the solicitor.
No.
Thank you.
Okay,
Ms. Comer, do you have anything else?
What would have been helpful is to take an example, like, I don't know what the typical home value is, maybe 400, whatever the typical is.
Again, you're mixing up things that haven't been said. We're not talking individual taxpayers. Individual taxpayers might go up and might go down. The goal of this legislation is to equalize by class of property for the entire class to bring in the same amount of revenue as we received last year prior to the revaluation. That's all that's being proposed.
Thank you, Director. Ms. Comer, you just have 1 minute left, so I don't want you to run out of time if you have any new questions.
I think an example would have helped based on today and the tax rates today, to see what this change could develop into. Because this is kind of open-ended. We don't know exactly what the tax rates are going to be for residential versus commercial. And my final question is, the purpose of this, is there a decline in commercial development, or are there more vacant commercial properties? What's happening in trends in the city?
Okay, this is where we might have an open meetings thing, but I'll quickly answer because it's somewhat related. So no, the commercial market in Warwick is not seeing any adverse conditions in the current market. We are heavily weighted in office and we're heavily weighted in retail, both which are suffering regionally, but so far we're doing well with that. But commercial growth in the values is typically slow and steady. But we're in a market where the residential properties have increased dramatically over a short period of time. So they've outpaced the growth in the commercial, which by itself will shift the burden.
Okay, I'm glad the council has studied this more so than I understand it, and I trust going forward that you're taking care of the taxpayers. But believe me, advertise this as a shift to the residential taxpayers, and you'd get many people filling the room.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Director. Kumar.
You're welcome.
Sir, step right up. Just state your name for the record, please.
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye,
right.
Welcome.
I have a question. How is the revenue neutral tax rate calculated?
Okay, number one, that's not in the agenda tonight, but again, it's loosely related, so we'll give it just a brief little comment. Okay. The revenue coming into the city by law, and the Department of Municipal Finance at the state level approves a notice that's going to be put in the paper on Thursday, showing that we have raised no money from the reevaluation. And at that point, we can be up to 4% over last year's levy based on what was already submitted in fiscal 25. And the state will approve that. It's not my calculations. It's not the finance director's calculations. It's the state of Rhode Island.
Director, can I hold you there? So we're not going to go down that path any further just because that the item, there's no item on our agenda specific to that. So other members of the public don't have the opportunity to come out and comment on that. Do you have any comments, Mr. Nye, specifically to PCR 45-25?
Well, the answer to that question underlies a lot of the, or the main basis of that amendment, which is to keep the tax burden equally proportioned. However, it starts with that calculation. So I'd appreciate it if someone could come up with that answer. Thank you.
Asked and answered.
Thank you, Mr. Nye. Okay, any other members of the public have any comments on PCR 45-25? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, Councilman.
Thank you, sir. So to Ms. Comar's question or comment, I'm looking at sub A on line 21 through 23. It says allocations increase in the commercial vacancy rates, including residential apartments of 6 units or more, the desire to incentivize new construction, or in the event of a significant decrease in value from class one, class two, class three. That type of action, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, that's why I'm asking, that would also have to come before the city council for approval?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any others? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'd just like to thank the administration and especially the tax assessor for recognizing the importance of this, maintaining stability. Coming up in the near future is going to... If this measure were not.
Yeah, so certainly be firming up the estimates that are currently in-house as part of the budget process, and then the final numbers would be at certification of the tax roll.
Very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You, Councilman. Okay, do we have anyone else? Okay, seeing none, do we have a motion? We're going to do the amendment on the floor with the full council. So
read the full amendment. So if the committee wants to move it as previously stated by the solicitor, then we can put that in play for the council.
Okay. We've read and discussed the full amendment. I think everyone understands it. It's a Occam's razor type amendment. Simplify. Do we have a motion to move the amendment?
Motion to move favorable on the amendment.
Okay. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Amendment carries. And on PCR 45-25 as amended.
Motion to move favorable action as amended.
Okay.
Second.
Second by Councilman DeLuise. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Okay, intergovernmental is done with all of our business. We stand adjourned at 8:11 p.m.
Next up is Ordinance Committee.